fact remains today, you're loved by God. You believe that? You're truly loved by God. No matter what anybody says, what you've done, where you've been, you are loved by God. And he says, hey, I got a plan for your life. It's the best news you'll ever hear. It's the gospel. And he loves us, and I'm glad that he does. We've been in the book of Acts for some time. Took a little break for Father's Day, this, that, and the other. And we're in the book of Acts again today. Chapter 2, if you want to turn there. And we're going to be talking about worthy traits of the church. The early church, the New Testament church that we're a part of today. But some worthy traits. And we can see how the folks very early on worship God. How they did this thing we call church today. So worthy traits of the church. And it's in chapter 2, starting at verse 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. So we've got the scripture before us, and we can look at it this morning about these traits. How the church was characterized at the beginning, if you will, and what these believers were doing on a daily basis. And it spells this out for us. The King James Version said they received the word gladly. They received the word gladly. So let's just be honest. Don't raise your hand. Answer yourself, not me. Are you here this morning to receive the word gladly? Well, what if it's a psalm like Bill was referring to in his prayer? Will you receive that gladly, the encouragement of it? Well, what if it's more of a convicting spirit of how we're living? Would you receive that this morning gladly? So here we are, and do we have that trait this morning, accepting the message and receiving the word gladly? Well, that was a trait here. They received the word gladly. They continued. They were steadfast. It stirred their souls. They were together. Are we together? Are we sharing in ministry? Are we being the church? And are we unified, and are we worshiping and praying God daily? That's some traits right here that we can go by, and they're excellent traits for us as individuals, as the body of Christ. On the screen, Acts 2:41 says, those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. So Peter's been doing some preaching. He's been emphasizing just the truth of the gospel, and he's been explaining the coming of the Holy Spirit, and we just kind of move right along to Acts 2:41 here, and they were receiving that word gladly. If we're here and we don't want to hear the word, we go through the motions, or we go to Sunday school or small group or whatever we want to talk to, and we're not of the mind that we want to receive the word gladly, that we accept the message of Jesus and his word here, we really kind of miss the point. So I hope that we come in saying, I'm going to receive this word gladly. It was a trait that they had of the early church, receiving the word. So they were not just receiving a set of ideas. You're not just receiving my opinion. You're not just receiving some philosophy or what have you. You're receiving the Word of God. Now, what's that mean to you? What's the Word of God mean to you in your life? I'm telling you, without it, where would we be? We're receiving the Word of God. And I submit to you today that the Word of God is still absolute truth. No matter what you hear other places, no matter what people say, I submit to you the Word of God is still absolute truth. So we need to receive it. We need to know this is a revelation of God Himself, and it should mean something to us. I mean, it's better than the self-help book. It's better than the college class. It's better than on and on we can go. We're talking about what? The Word of the living God. That's a biggie. That's way up here. It's at the top. And we're receiving that today. And we thank God for it. Peter, he was a spokesman here. And he was telling people about Jesus. He said, I'm trying to explain this to you. I'm trying to preach to you this word about Jesus. And then he says, and we know this too, that listen, as a church body, as people of God, we receive that word, but we live it out. We receive it, we get the information from God's word, and then we live it out. We don't just hear it or listen and then just go on and mind our own business. No, we take it in, we receive it, we live it out. So, you know, last week I thought on very little sleep, I thought, well, you know, Lord, if you don't help me preach a little bit here on Father's Day, nothing's going to happen. Well, I slept 8 hours last night, and I feel a whole lot better this Sunday than I did last Sunday. But if the Holy Spirit doesn't help me preach, and if you don't want to receive the word gladly, nothing's going to be accomplished. So we've got to receive it. We've got to take it for what it is, the word of God. With a closed mind, what do you hear? Nothing. With an open heart, what do you hear? Everything the Lord wants you to hear. So we welcome the Word. I hope you welcome the Word this morning. I hope you believe it. I hope you take it to heart. I hope you have a hunger for what thus saith the Lord, that you have a hunger for that. Now, if you do, you're going to go someplace in your Christian walk. You're going to go someplace if you're hungry for what God said in His Word. You will go places without the preacher. You'll go places without the Sunday school class, even though those things are important and part of our overall makeup and body of Christ here. But if you've got a hunger for the Word of God, you're on target, and you'll want to do everything you can to receive it. Well, did everybody here receive this message? No, not everybody. Some had a closed mind. Some had a closed heart. They didn't. They refused to believe it, just like some people do today. But boy, those who received it, those who received it, those who accepted His message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. About 3,000 took it in, and they said, okay, here we are, man. We're the church. The next scripture on the screen is verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now, if you've been in the church any length of time, you've heard this scripture. You've heard it preached all kinds of ways, and you hear it often probably, but they devoted themselves to what? The apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They devoted themselves to it. They stayed with it. They continued in it. They were steadfast. They didn't quit. They didn't let up. They didn't take it half-heartedly. They said, we're going to be steadfast here. We're going to devote. What'd they do? They devoted themselves to. So, are we receiving that Word of God? Do we have a hunger for it? And then, are we going to devote ourselves in 2019 to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer? They didn't fade away. They didn't back off. They said, I'm going to devote myself to this. I'm going to continue. Well, what did they continue to do? They continued, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They got some doctrine. They got some nuts and bolts and basics and doctrine and the instructions of the apostles here. And the message was Jesus. The message is still Jesus. The message is the Word of the living God. God here and how it sends roots down within our soul, and it grows and it produces the Word of God, the message of Jesus. It's still here. On the next scripture, it's Matthew. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. It goes right along with what we're saying today in this message. Go, therefore, go. You got to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. They knew what that meant. They had a burden for the gospel to spread. They said, man, this is a radical change here. This is the coming of the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost, these guys, the way they're acting, this is a supernatural power. Something has happened here, and I'm going to be devoted to it. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be steadfast. I'm not going to fade off. I'm not going to lack and slack and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to move forward with excitement and with zeal. I'm going to do it. And not only am I going to devote myself to the teaching, but to the fellowship. We've been talking about we are the family. Steve had that shirt on this morning. The family, the blue shirt. We're Jones Chapel. We're family. They knew what fellowship was. They knew what koinonia was. They knew what to really be together in unity and be brothers and sisters. And they said, we're going to do that. We're going to fellowship together. Now, community participation is one thing, and all that's good. But spiritual participation and community and unity is more than just a community neighborhood thing. It's brought about by the Spirit of God. You can be in a community setting and not be together. You might fellowship and you might eat your donut. But on a spiritual connection in the church, the body of Christ, the Spirit of God living in you says, listen, we're all together in the body. We're all family. We've got a goal and we've got a purpose. That's to be like Jesus and to spread His gospel. We're here for the same cause. We're here for the same purpose, and not this one and just that one or that. No, everybody in the family, I'm devoting myself to the teaching and I'm devoting myself to the fellowship of what's going on here in a spiritual sense. I have a purpose to maintain this unity and to be together. Christianity is not one person. Christianity is a group of people. Christianity is the saints, you know, gathered together. It is us together as a body, many persons together, that the Spirit of God has entered, has enabled to carry out the very purpose that He has for us. And that's to spread this glorious gospel. And the Spirit of God does that and helps us to be the body and to be in unity. To the fellowship, to the breaking of bread. And so there's a little bit of argument over that breaking of bread. Some want to say, well, it's talking about the communion. No, they're eating in their homes together. Listen, let's don't worry about that. Both are important. So they were coming together here in the fellowship, the breaking of bread. If we come together for the Lord's Supper, these people know they were coming together because Jesus had did something. Jesus had accomplished something for them. Because of Jesus, they were now reconciled to God. They had communion with God, and they celebrated that. They celebrated the fellowship that they had. They said, man, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus because of what Christ has done for me. I'm infilled with the Spirit of God because of what Christ and the Holy Spirit's done in me. So yeah, I'm going to have some fellowship in the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper. That, yeah, you better believe it. I know what Jesus has done. And then in their homes, eating a meal together, fellowshipping together, being the family together. They were enjoying all of that. And to prayer. Now, what kind of prayer are we talking about here? They were people who persevered in prayer. They were people who prayed, and it has a body connection, that Christians praying together, not just an individual prayer, but the church body praying together, united prayer, the whole body of believers praying. And they receive things from God. They receive the provision for their soul, the provisions for their life. They received it. So they accepted the message and were baptized. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, breaking the bread, and to prayer. That's good traits that we should have today. So are we devoted to those things? Are we really devoted to it? You got to answer it. I've got to answer it. Then it says that every one of them, verse 43 on the screen, every one was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Everyone was filled with this awe. These people had the fear of God. You know, have you ever heard the fear of God's in them? This was a godly fear. This was, man, look what's happening around us here. And I don't want to displease the God that's doing this. I mean, there was a respect. There was, this is what God is doing here. Here is a sense of God's presence. Look what He's doing. We better pay attention. Look how He's working here. And they were together in that. Verse 44 and 45, all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had needs. Now, a lot of Christians get messed up right here. Maybe you're one of them. I don't know. But they get messed up on this, and what I believe, and you can say, well, maybe that's just your opinion, so I'll give you that much. We get messed up right here because we try to justify not giving to the poor. We try to justify having what we want and not carrying out what the Scripture says. And then you turn around and say, well, as a body of Christ, and it is my opinion again, that Jones Chapel has a wonderful track record over the years of when we know there's a need of different kinds, that we come together and try to meet that need. But at the same time, as individuals, sometimes we struggle a little bit right here, I would say. They were together. Okay, I can get that. If they were together, what was going on? I mean, great things were happening. The Spirit of God moving. And they had the same mindset. They had the same call. Yeah, do you have the same call that I do? Do you have the same mindset that I do? Do I have the same mindset that you do? Well, we are different people. We have different personalities, but we are called. The body of Christ, Christians, we are called with the same calling. Well, you say, well, I'm called to music, I'm called to preach, I'm called. I understand different gifts, but all of us are called in the body to be together and to be working for the same goal of putting out the gospel and working in the kingdom of God. See, they had the same mind. They had the same purpose. They were focused together on what the opportunity was. And we're so individualized in 2019, even though we have the common bond of Jesus, we have the common bond of His Spirit in us, we're going so many different directions. And we're so busy that a lot of times we're more concerned about our own affairs, about me and me and me, than we are about the we, the body. And we got to be careful and not get caught up in that. The believers sold their possessions and goods and used the money to minister to poor and needy. So that's still God's call. And you say, well, maybe that's just for the rich folks. Well, who's rich here today? Who's rich right here today? You say, well, it must be them over there in the corner. Oh, it must be that one or that one. You got $20 in your pocket? You're richer than most people around the world. Now, we all want to live in comfort. I know that. And we all want a home. And we all, you know, I understand that. But I want to tell you something. We're all rich. I went to Sunday school here a few years ago, and Leslie Scott told me every day I walked in. He was teaching at that time. He said, I want y'all to know, y'all rich. Looked around to Judy, and I said, who's he talking to? He ain't talking to us, is he? Andy Stanley was the material. All of us are rich. We're rich in the blessings of God. And we are. So how did he define rich? A person who has anything beyond what he needs. If that's the definition, anybody that has more than what they need, then I suggest that all of us in here are rich. All of us have that we can give and that we can make sure that others have what they need. And you say, well, I'm all for spreading the gospel. I'm glad. And many of you help spread the gospel. And, you know, you say, well, I ate steak the other day, and, you know, I'll help spread the gospel in India. We're going to build a church over there, Life Center. And you won't know how many will come through there and hear the word of God. They'll accept the message. They'll receive it gladly. And they will devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer. And you'll see them in heaven one day. That'll be a joy. That'll be a joy. But think about it. Through the years, before our time on this earth, and our time now, and however long the Lord says, let the earth stand. If all people who call themselves Christians would give and sacrifice of ourselves that the glorious gospel can be preached to the ends of the earth, think about how much further the gospel would have spread today. You say, well, Jesus is coming back someday. Yes, he is. And one of those requirements is that that gospel is spread across the world. So if you want him to come a little sooner, let's spread it across the world. But just think how much faster it would spread if we really, really had that mindset. So we struggle sometimes we say, well, we're saved by grace. I'm losing my voice. Lord, help me. We're saved by grace. We're saved by grace. And we emphasize that. Aren't you glad? It's true. Aren't you glad we're saved by grace? The mercy of God for the forgiveness of sin. Thank God for that. And that grace and His love, it is wonderful. But we forget sometimes another truth. And the other side and the other part of that truth is, yes, we're saved by grace and called to minister and serve other people. So we get hung up on grace, grace and grace and grace. Wonderful, thank God for it. But we're saved by grace to go serve and minister and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we get right down to it, sometimes we're unwilling to sacrifice something we want to give the gospel a chance over here in our own community or in our own state or our own nation, much less around the world. Because we want what we want. We're still caught up on me instead of the kingdom. Now, that kind of preaching is not too popular, is it? Y'all just love what I'm saying, do you? That's what I thought. Thank God for the grace. I want to go to heaven. Oh, I see where you're coming from here, but ask me to sacrifice? Well, now, I don't know if I want to do that or not. Part of that human nature, and it's got to be crucified with Christ. Well, let's not get caught up in position and power and recognition of this old world. And let's get caught up in what he says. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You remember that one? And sometimes I think of the people starving around the world. And the people that don't have clothes in our own land. Our own city, you see some homeless people. And do you ever struggle with what to do? How much to do? When to give? I do. So I have to ask the Spirit of God to guide me in those things. So, you know, I like most of this scripture, but this part right here about all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods, and they gave to anyone who had need. I don't know if I like that or not, some may be saying. 46 and 47 on the screen says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. One accord, unity, working together, accepting the message, being baptized, devoting ourselves to the teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. A lot of many wonderful, miraculous signs were done. Taking care of people, working together in unity. And we see these traits here. They were worshiping and praising God. Worshiping and praising God. That's different than just coming to church, isn't it? I went to church Sunday. But were we worshiping and praising God? And you'd say, well, sure. Worshiping and praising God. Where were they at? In the temple? Yes, they were there. Praying? They would show up at worship times at the temple. And they would worship and they would praise God. They just didn't go to church. But they were there with the right attitude, with a soft heart, with a heart that could receive what? Gladly the word. If the heart's not ready to receive, it's not going to happen. So we need to pray, Lord, help our heart to be ready to receive the good word of the Lord. They did some things here, worship in the temple, prayed. They were in worship. In their homes. They said they went from home to home, sharing together in a fellowship meal, observing the Lord's Supper, had a soft and tender heart, and where there was a need, they gave. They had glad hearts. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. And ate together with what? Glad and sincere hearts. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. These early believers had a radical change in their life. I'm telling you, the day of Pentecost came and the Holy Spirit came and you're talking about a change in people. It was there. It was evident. You remember a few verses back about, well, these people are drunk. No, they're not drunk. It's just 9 in the morning. Well, and then Peter says, let me explain what's happening. We went through that a few weeks back. And this is a radical, radical transformation of early believers. Well, what caused that radical behavior? What is that? the best I can tell from this word, it was those who accepted the message. It was those who gladly received the true word of the living God. They really received what was being said. They received the word of God. They received the Holy Spirit. They accepted it. They took it to heart and they walked and lived in it. Therefore, there was gladness and joy and unity and togetherness, and they were carrying out what the Lord wanted them to do. And he said to them all, if a man will come after me, he's got to deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's in Luke 9. That's some more of that sacrifice business. So maybe we need to think about our sacrifice to the Lord. Maybe we need to see this example, how they gained favor with people. How the Lord added to their number daily. Worthy traits of the church, that's what this is about. Accept the message gladly. I hope we accept it gladly. I hope we will devote ourselves to the teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. I hope we'll devote ourselves to the Great Commission to, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I hope and pray that we will be filled with the awe and the wonders and the signs will come. I pray that we'll continue to meet together when it's time to meet here. We'll break bread in our homes and we'll have glad and sincere hearts and we'll be praising God and enjoying the favor of the people. And the Lord will add to our number daily. Would you stand with me today? These traits of the early church, as we think about them today, let's just ask ourselves the question, is that me? Am I working in these traits here? And I'm not going to repeat them again. You've heard the message. You've read the scripture. Am I working in that line? Am I doing these things as an individual? And then as the individuals do them, the body, we come together and we do them. So we just asked ourselves that question. Where does this message find me? Oh, you might rejoice and say it finds me well. You might say, well, in some of these areas right here, I'm not pursuing that trait very much when it comes to the church. So here we are, you and me, the Lord. What would you hear the Spirit say to you today? What is the Lord saying to you? What's He saying to all of us? Whatever that is. Andrea said, you're loved. You're loved. Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me, huh? How He loves all of us. His grace, how wonderful it is. And also the part, we're called to serve and we're called to worship Him. If you need forgiveness of sin today, guess what? Jesus is here to do that. If you need to be filled afresh and anew with the Holy Spirit, that you know that, yes, Lord, I'm trying to serve you, but I really want to be filled afresh and anew with your Holy Spirit, and give me some zeal and give me a desire to receive this word of yours and to carry out these traits, come and ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. Just be mindful of what the Spirit says to you. Our Father, as we bow in your presence, we want to be very mindful of what you're saying. We've gathered in the name of Jesus, and we believe the Holy Spirit is at work in us. So God, may we just be a very open, real, genuine, authentic before you right now. Maybe that means coming to an altar and asking for forgiveness. Maybe that means coming to an altar and just simply praise and worship you for your blessings. I don't know what it means, but you do. And I'm thankful that you love every individual, willing to forgive, willing to fill with the Holy Spirit, willing to hear what's happening in our lives today. And we have a hope in you. Work in us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.